This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Washington holds fire. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. Friday, June 21. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Reports say at the last minute, President Trump decided against a retaliatory strike on Iran for shooting down a U.S. drone.
Philadelphia has placed 6 dozen police officers on administrative duty during a probe into racist or offensive posts on social media.
After a fourth straight day of gains, the S&P 500 reached a record close for the first time since April.
And with the NBA draft in mind from last night, a look at how the league guards its data from hackers.
Well, the NBA has been engaged for a number of years now in a top-down effort to really kind of raise the standards of cybersecurity among all of its teams. Partly this is because professional sports teams are in a bit of a weird situation. They have a lot of the major cybersecurity concerns of large retailers, thanks to their online and in-person presences, but they also have these tentpole events such as the draft, such as the finals, March Madness, and everything else.
Wall Street Journal reporter James Rundle on the NBA mission to prevent cyber attacks from penetrating its data. He's here in about 20 minutes. Following the downing of a U.S. reconnaissance drone by the Iranian military, the American military was reportedly preparing to launch a retaliatory strike, but the mission was called off. Details about the mission or the reason for the abrupt reversal of plans were not immediately known, but the Wall Street Journal reports that a future military response has not been ruled out. The U.S. appeared to be edging closer to military confrontation throughout the day yesterday as President Trump charged that Tehran had made, quote, a very big mistake. But he later appeared to suggest the drone attack was done without the okay from top leadership in Tehran.
We didn't have a man or woman in the drone. We had nobody in the drone. Would have made a big difference, let me tell you. Would have made a big, big difference.
The U.S. has accused Iran of using mines to attack 6 foreign commercial ships, including oil tankers, and the two sides have been bitterly at odds over Iran's nuclear program. If you're traveling overseas, the tensions with Iran might mean your flight could be taking a different path. The FAA yesterday issued an emergency order prohibiting U.S. carriers from flying in airspace controlled by Iran over the Strait of Hormuz and the Gulf of Oman. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The order came hours after United Airlines suspended flights between Newark Liberty Airport in New Jersey and the Indian financial capital of Mumbai. The agency said it's concerned about military activity near civil aircraft routes, as well as Iran's willingness to use long-range missiles with little or no warning in international airspace. The FAA said calculations indicate the nearest passenger jet was operating around 45 nautical miles of the drone shot down by an Iranian surface-to-air missile. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. In July of 2014, Malaysia Airlines flight MH17 was shot down by a missile over Ukraine, killing all 298 on board, prompting carriers to take more steps to uncover threats to their planes. Meanwhile, rising tensions are creating a real danger of the U.S. and Iran stumbling into a catastrophic war that neither side wants. Professor of Practice Matthew Bunn at Harvard Kennedy School says Iran and the United States are locked in a security dilemma, and the time has come to step away from the brink. Matthew, your take.
It's a very dangerous situation. There's a lot of different forces moving about and a lot of incidents taking place, some of them possibly intentional, some of them maybe not.
And as you point out, every move that one side makes, the other side interprets as what? This is pretty much an act of war.
Exactly. Each side is taking steps it sees as necessary to protect itself or deter the other side, and the other side sees those steps as preparation for attack. And you've got a lot of different commanders of different militias that each have their own interests and their own hot-headed commanders that may set off a spark, and there's just a lot of different ways that a conflagration could start. So I'm less concerned about one side suddenly deciding, okay, today's the day for a big war, than I am about us blundering into a war that neither side wants.
Because as you referenced, there have been a couple of incidents in history where there were mistakes made, right, where a command was not given by, say, a country's leader.
Absolutely. I point out that in the Cuban Missile Crisis, in the middle of this intense nuclear crisis, a U.S. aircraft strayed over the Soviet Union without anybody telling it to do so. It was just lost. And the Soviets could easily have seen that as preparation for an attack. The Soviets shot down one of the U.S. spy planes over Cuba, even though their troops had been ordered not to do so. And the United States could easily have launched airstrikes in response to that. And at one point, the U.S. Navy was dropping explosives on Soviet submarines to force them to the surface. And some of those submarines were nuclear-armed and almost decided to launch.
We're speaking with Matthew Bunn, professor of practice at the Harvard Kennedy School. He's written a piece in Defense One that's an interesting read. It's called How to Step Back from the Brink with Iran. So you made a couple of recommendations here for the Trump administration. How do you see it?
Well, I think there are some things that should be done right away. First, President Trump ought to make a statement even clearer than the ones he's made about not wanting war with Iran. He should say to Iran, look, if you don't attack our forces, our allies' forces, and you don't step much closer to a nuclear bomb, you have nothing to fear from us. Second, he ought to issue an order that nobody fires back on the Iranians without the president deciding. This is too dangerous a situation for that kind of action to be commanded at lower levels. And he should make clear to U.S. allies in the region as well, unless you consult with us first, don't necessarily expect our immediate backup if you start attacking the Iranians. And then I think each side ought to announce that they will behave as though they already had an incidents at sea agreement that essentially regulates and says, let's not have our ships go too close to each other or our planes go too close to each other because of the risk of accident. And let's, if there is an incident, focus first on diplomacy and not on immediately striking back.
How do you see this playing out, ultimately, given the characters involved?
Well, I think there's a serious risk that we will slide over the brink into war. But I think there are steps we could take that could reduce that danger. Over the longer term, if we manage to cool the temperature down for the time being, we need to find some path back to some kind of deal for nuclear restraint by Iran and lifting of sanctions by the United States. But that path looks very hard to get to at the moment.
Thanks, Matthew. Professor of Practice Matthew Bunn from Harvard Kennedy School. 14 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Does your furniture bring you joy, or are you just one couch or chair away from saying, this is my home? Home should be your haven, a place that's uniquely you. Joybird can turn your ideas into reality with hundreds of styles and options crafted to your unique taste. If you can dream it, Joybird can transform it into quality, handcrafted furniture. Each piece is made with care and precision, using high-quality hardwood and reasonably sourced materials to fit your expectations. Not 100% sure? Our free personal design consultants can help you nail down your perfect design. And with their 365-day home trial, you can skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home. Find your joy today at joybird.com/Gordon. Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/Gordon. Go to joybird.com/Gordon and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order today by using the code Gordon at joybird.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. The Senate has voted to block arms sales to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. It's a rebuke to President Trump's foreign policy following the murder of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. In three votes yesterday, the Senate approved 22 resolutions of disapproval, with help from as many as seven Republicans joining the Democratic caucus. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell called the resolutions ill-considered.
Rejecting long-planned arms sales strikes me as an overly blunt tool, with several unintended consequences.
Mr. Trump, whose administration signaled it would bypass congressional opposition to the sale of arms, is expected to veto the resolutions. Politico says the votes highlight ongoing tension between the president and GOP over how much power Congress should cede to the executive branch on foreign policy. It also illustrates bipartisan anger with Saudi Arabia over the murder of Mr. Khashoggi, as well as the U.S.'s ongoing support for the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen's civil war. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the U.S. made preparations for a military strike against Iran in retaliation for the downing of a U.S. surveillance drone, but the operation was abruptly called off with hours to go. The targets would have included radars and missile batteries. The New York Times was the first to report that President Trump had approved the strikes, but then called them off.
I said, I want to get out of these endless wars. I campaigned on that. I want to get out. We've been in Afghanistan for 19 years. As you know, we've reduced very substantially in Afghanistan.
Meanwhile, the U.S. today barred U.S.-registered aircraft from flying over Iranian-administered airspace in the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman, affecting a region crucial for global air travel. The FAA warned of a potential for miscalculation or misidentification in the region after yesterday's strike on a U.S. drone. A high school student accused of opening fire in a Colorado school told investigators he targeted those who mocked his gender identity and had messaged a second suspect on Snapchat hours earlier about his plan. The May shooting at STEM school Highlands Ranch near Denver killed Kendrick Castillo and left eight others wounded. In police records unsealed yesterday, 16-year-old Alec McKinney said he was born a female but was transitioning to male, and he targeted specific students who called him disgusting for undergoing that process. The Supreme Court has ruled that a 40-foot, 16-ton Latin Cross war memorial in Bladensburg, Maryland can stand, upholding the constitutionality of a religious symbol on public land, but the justices stopped short of creating a clear new standard for evaluating similar displays nationwide. The cross, erected in 1925 as a memorial to fallen World War I soldiers, was first built on private property using private funds, but decades later was incorporated into state parkland maintained with taxpayer dollars. Three local residents filed suit in 2014 seeking to have the monument removed from public property or modified into a non-religious memorial.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver with the non-surprise announcement at last night's NBA draft. Ja Morant went second to the Grizzlies, while Williamson's Duke teammate R.J. Barrett went third to the Knicks.
I happened to be watching at the time. First of all, it was great to see Zion Williamson's emotion in his interview following the announcement. But the crowd in New Orleans that was watching outside somewhere in some plaza.
They have reason to be pretty excited.
On a giant screen TV, it looked like they won the championship. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour, on This Morning, America's First News. Cybersecurity has become a bigger issue in the NBA over the past few years, and big events like the draft last night bring a heightened focus on outsmarting hackers who could use data stolen from teams to place bets on draft picks. It's a story by reporter James Rundle at the Wall Street Journal. James, explain.
Well, the NBA has been engaged for a number of years now in a top-down effort to really kind of raise the standards of cybersecurity among all of its teams. Partly this is because, you know, professional sports teams are in a bit of a weird situation. They have a lot of the major cybersecurity concerns of large retailers, thanks to their online and in-person presences, but they also have these tentpole events such as the draft, such as the finals, March Madness, and everything else. And the added pressure from the legalization of sports betting as well. So all of that is combining to really drive an awareness and sophistication in how they handle cyber threats. So the NBA has been investing in its own cybersecurity division. It's also been working with teams to go in and analyze their network security, to train technical staff, and to organize conferences between CIOs, security officers, and other professionals that the teams do really come up with a common set of standards.
All right, so the league does one thing, I would imagine, for its own corporate offices. Does it mandate the way teams address this as well?
I don't think there's a specific mandate for individual teams, and a lot of them also engage outside companies as well. The idea is that the league acts as a delivery mechanism for bringing all the teams up to what it regards as a common baseline.
Because part of this is with the value of data, right? As you point out, the NBA is so data-driven.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. And in a number of ways, it holds vast amounts of customer data, which is very sensitive, as we saw with the Pacers data breach that was disclosed in May, where customers' credit card details and some social security numbers were potentially exposed. But it also has a lot of corporate proprietary information as well that really feeds into how they devise their strategies for the season, both on the court and off the court, in terms of their draft picks, which would be incredibly valuable, not just for people interested in making wages on it, but as we saw a few years ago to other teams as well. There was an incident with the Cardinals and the Astros where their systems were compromised, and some pretty heavy punishments came down from that.
We're speaking with James Rundle, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, about his piece entitled NBA Strives to Protect Secrets from Hackers. How much of a role is sports betting playing right now? Is there added pressure to get it right when it comes to cybersecurity, or is, that commitment always been there?
It's part of cybersecurity, and it always has been there, but I think that the impact of it has been or become more pronounced ever since the Supreme Court ruling last year that really kick-started the process for legalizing it in a lot of states. You have a handful of them now where it is fully legal. Quite a lot of other states are also considering rules and amendments to the legislation that would legalize it. So it's becoming a pretty intense industry. The American Gaming Association, for instance, estimated that Americans wagered both legally and illegally around $8.5 billion on March Madness. So it gives you some idea of the kind of scale of the market and what kind of money is at stake here.
Thanks, James. James Rundle, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Friday, June 21. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The U.S. is said to have come this close to a retaliatory military strike on Iran for downing a drone. The FAA bans U.S. flights over Iranian airspace. The Senate blocks Trump's arms sale to the Saudis. Democratic presidential hopefuls in South Carolina this weekend. The U.S. women beat Sweden at the World Cup. Official start of summer today with 19 hours of daylight in Alaska. And the 7-year-old who applied for a police job with a very persuasive letter. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell is thanking small businesses this month with up to 45% off select computers with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. Parents of children who bully others could face fines after the city council in Wisconsin Rapids voted in favor of a controversial anti-bullying ordinance. The ordinance includes a penalty of $50 for a child's first bullying offense. The Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune says there are also graduated fines for continued violations. Will it work?
Analysis from Stephanie Mann, child safety expert and author of a book called Empowerment Parenting. Stephanie, what was your reaction when you heard about it?
I thought it was really good because it puts a spotlight on bullying. And actually, we really need to have a conversation about how to empower parents to prevent kids from bullying. So I was happy to see that they put that spotlight where it belongs.
Is it the vast majority of the time that kids who are bullies often learn it from parents?
Unfortunately, yes. What you know, this is learned behavior, and most of this behavior comes from the home. If children see domestic violence and child abuse, or neglected, they can become bullies because they simply do not understand how to live by their own spirit. They don't have that information. So it's important that we give children the tools they need so they don't bully.
All right, so in this situation, a lot of these school proposals sometimes or government proposals tend to treat the symptoms and not the root cause. But here, I think it's sort of getting at the root cause, isn't it? But I guess the parents ultimately may need counseling to resolve what may be happening in the home?
Well, you're seeing what's happened today is today's children. Bullying is a bigger problem. There's a much bigger problem. You see kids today, they're not only bullying, but they're misusing sex, they're stealing, they're becoming violent and committing suicide, which is an epidemic in this country because parents are failing to give their children the spiritual foundation that they can stay emotionally centered. Children with emotional support discover their own inner power, so they learn how to live, become happy, healthy, and live happy, healthy lives. And if you don't give them that foundation, they just grow up like a vegetable garden. You know, they've got food and water, but they don't have the emotional support they need to live happy, healthy lives.
I'm speaking with Stephanie Mann, child safety expert, also author of a book called Empowerment Parenting. And we're talking about fining parents to deter bullying. It's a proposal in a Wisconsin school district. Generally speaking, are parents in denial about bullying when it's either their kids or if they're accused themselves?
Unfortunately, yes. We have a lot of helicopter parents that don't understand that children have to learn from their own mistakes. They have to learn from some of the trials and errors that happen to kids. For example, a child that is bullied and at an early age needs to learn how to handle that bully instead of the helicopter parent coming in to save them. Of course, if the bullying is severe, then they need to step in. But generally speaking, kids learn from each other, and we don't have to. You know, I think the worst thing you can do is overprotect a child because then you make them weak and dependent. Once they're weak and dependent, then you see children not even getting out of the home today that are not just teenagers, but they're like 21 years old and they're still living on mom and dad's couch. You have not taught them how to live from their own inner power, which is critical to develop healthy human beings.
At what age can kids begin to grasp that empowerment?
Well, when my son was 6 years old and he was in first grade, he came home crying, and he told me that a boy was picking on him, and he didn't like it, and it made him feel bad. And I said to him, I said, okay, you got to put on your Superman costume. At the time, Superman was the big thing.
Yeah.
So I said, put on your Superman costume. He looked at me, and he said, what does that mean? And I said, you got to let these word bullets bounce off your chest. Well, about a week later, he came back all happy and excited. And he said, I took care of Johnny. And I said, oh, okay, what did you do? And he said, well, I told him I was going to punch him in the nose. And he said, I turned around and walked away. And he said, and he reported it to the teacher. So that was my son actually solving his own problem.
Thanks, Stephanie. Stephanie Mann, child safety expert and author of a book called Empowerment Parenting. By the way, in order for that ordinance to pass in Wisconsin Rapids, it must get a majority vote after the second reading at the council meeting at the end of July. 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us beyond the headlines now. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, this should be a piece of advice squarely in the goes without saying column, but if that was the case, we wouldn't be talking about it today. A New Jersey man allegedly learned the hard way recently not to drunk dial the cops. The man was apparently incensed at being kicked out of a bar and banned from the establishment for life one night, so he sought police intervention. According to a report, officers responded to the scene in Hackettstown, located about 60 miles west of New York City, and said they found the man drunk and outside of the business yelling and cursing at bar staff. The 21-year-old was initially charged with disorderly conduct after the May incident and released pending a court appearance, but yesterday, investigators updated the charge to a fourth-degree offense after they reviewed the call and determined he dialed the emergency line without needing 911 service.
Wow.
So interesting here that the disorderly conduct is a lesser charge, but if they find out that you dialed 911 without there being an emergency, that's worse.
Right.
That's way worse than anything you actually did, the dialing of 911.
It's almost
falsely.
It's almost like the police were still mad after all of this, and they're like,
right.
what else can we hit this guy
yeah,
with?
Yeah,
he was such a behavioral jerk or whatever it was.
There's got to be something else we can do.
21 years old, huh?
Yeah.
Bar hopping is off to a great start at the legal age.
Yes, his drinking career might need to take a turn in a better direction
I demand that you put me back in that bar right now.
That's how that call
Don't worry, guy. There'll be other bars. And here's hoping that if you do have an unfortunate run-in with the law, you can find your way out of jail when you finally get released. That was a big problem for one woman in Missouri who was released, but just couldn't figure out how to leave the building. The St. Louis Corrections Commissioner said the unidentified woman, who was released from custody at the St. Louis Justice Center on June 5th and was reportedly told how to exit the building, ended up trapped in a stairwell for nearly 3 days after she got lost. The woman became confused by the directions and took the elevator to the wrong floor. She then went through a fire exit, which had signs warning against entering, and became locked inside. 2 days later, staff finally saw her looking through a window on one of the doors. She was given food and water and appeared to be okay otherwise, refusing medical treatment offered to her. Understandably, she just wanted to go home. The commissioner says that corrections officials will now escort people out of the building to prevent this from happening again.
This is weird.
I mean, I've been in situations like this before where I've been in buildings. I used to do a sort of overnight shifts early in my radio career. I was the only one in a building, and I was worried about being locked while going through a door and having it locked behind you and not being able to get back in again. So I've seen stuff like this. But of course, this was during the day. There were other people in the building, so it was a little strange.
Very strange. It went on for 3 days. She's banging on the door. I presume nobody heard her. There's not security cameras in these stairwells.
Yeah, nobody's sure what's going on there.
No security is walking through the stairwells to make sure inmates haven't escaped.
Doesn't fill you with confidence, does it?
No. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour.
This human resources professional is crushing it, thanks to Kronos. And this is his hype song.
You can fall back with the pack. I'm a leader pack.
I've got HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. Now we are
engaging all the best people.
Blast off to the front of the field. This is
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter at Gordon Deal. A new study finds that people are more likely to return a lost wallet with money inside than an empty wallet. Researchers say people who found the wallets returned them more often when they had a small sum of money than if the wallets didn't have money at all, and return the wallets even more often if they had nearly $100. People on average return 40% of wallets with no money in them, but 51% of wallets with some money. The findings were published yesterday in the journal Science. The Wall Street Journal says the findings run counter to a fundamental principle of classical economics and suggest that honesty, altruism, and self-image can sometimes be more influential than economic self-interest. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Britain, the U.S. had been preparing to launch a retaliatory strike against Iran for shooting down a U.S. drone Thursday, but the mission was called off at the last minute. Details about the mission or the reason for the abrupt reversal of plans weren't immediately known, but officials say a future military response hasn't been ruled out. Earlier in the day, President Trump said Tehran had made a very big mistake in shooting down the unmanned drone.
We didn't have a man or woman in the drone. We had nobody in the drone. Would have made a big difference, let me tell you. Would have made a big, big difference.
Trump later appeared to defuse the crisis by suggesting that the shootdown might have been done without the blessing of Iran's top leadership. The Senate has voted to block President Trump's Saudi arms deal, paving the way for a veto clash with the White House. The Senate voted 53 to 45 on resolutions to block two of the sales, with seven GOP senators joining Democrats. The sales, estimated to be worth more than $8 billion, would provide weapons to Saudi Arabia, as well as the United Arab Emirates and Jordan. But it sparked widespread backlash in Congress after Trump used an emergency provision of the Arms Export Control Act to sidestep the 30-day notification to lawmakers about a pending sale. Alabama Republican Roy Moore, a former judge who defiantly opposed gay marriage and defended the public display of the Ten Commandments, has jumped into the race for a U.S. Senate seat he lost under a cloud of accusations 2 years ago. In announcing his candidacy, Moore defied national GOP leaders eager to keep him out of the contest after his narrow defeat in 2017 to Democrat Doug Jones amid accusations Moore engaged in sexual misconduct with teenage girls decades ago.
Wanted Lloyd. Finds Heath instead. Tobin Heath looking. Moore trying to get free shot. And a goal for Heath. Spectacular. U.S. leads 2-0.
The call on Fox says the U.S. women's soccer team went up 2-0 on Sweden at the World Cup and went on to win by that same margin. The U.S. went undefeated and unscored upon in the group stage and now move on to the round of 16 where they'll meet Spain on Monday.
18 goals for zero against.
That's not too bad.
Most goals ever scored in group stage.
Not bad.
They are impressive. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. A 7-year-old boy is confident he's got the chops to be a law enforcement officer, citing his talents in a persuasive essay to his local police department. The young man, identified only as Harcheron, who's enrolled at Morley Memorial Primary School in Cambridge, England, has won laughs and applause for his honesty in the handwritten note. Fox News says the Sauston Police Station received the letter as part of a school assignment. The boy wrote, "I would love to be a police officer to stop diamond heists and bank robberies. I'm good at dodging objects, and I got good eyesight." He adds, "I got lots of stealth." He says, "To be a good police officer, you need to check stuff. I'm good at guarding places. I would be good for the job because I'm good at climbing." Police posted the letter to their Facebook page this week, adding, "We are definitely persuaded." Young Harcheron, though, has to wait more than a decade until he turns 18 to seriously pursue his policing career. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.